tonight. Everyone who's interested in police software, we are very excited that you all are so excited about this. We're going to summarize what we're going to be planning in this 1 hour to be talking about. We want to inform mainly, because this year in February we had a ruling from Karlsruhe, which is our where our Federal Constitutional Court is placed, that are with regards to police software that analyze and process data, and we want to talk about this. We want to talk about what products are being used in what federal states. We want to also concretely talk about what is in this ruling and what are its implications. And we want to have a look at Hesse, the federal state of Hesse, because that was one of the affected counties that had a norm in their police law that can now not continue or be continued. So we want to concretely talk about the improvements of this, and we want to evaluate that. And as usual, we have a few demands that we want to talk about at the end. I want to add one more phrase before we start on a more content level. Why is it exactly the three of us that are up here? The GFF and Simon and Jürgen are part of that, were the driving forces in the Federal Constitutional Court. So without the two of them, we wouldn't have it. And the CCC. Now there's obviously a round of applause for the two of them. And the CCC, so in the person of me, was important and was invited as a expert where we were heard orally, which is something that is actually quite rare. So there was a one-day hearing, and it's always interesting because we want to give a few insights, because days like that you have pieces of information that aren't really ending up in the written out reports later on. So that's why we're going to report on that as well a little bit. So specifically, two data protection offices have given us great insights on that court day. But because we've got the name Palantir in our subtitles, so we have to explain that a little bit. But we really only did this because we can show this beautiful image of the Seeing Stone. The companies who, the founders of the companies gave the name Palantir because of Palantiri. So who doesn't know what Palantiri is? They're all seeing stones that aren't just able to allow gazing into the far distance. So they picked this term based on what the software was supposed to be capable to do. So what we want to talk about is what the software actually looks like and what its dangers are and what dangers are derived from that software. We don't just want to talk about Palantir, though. It's just one provider, and it's a contracted provider, but in some of the federal states that we have. But it's obviously also a problem that other providers have. So it's not just this company. This one is in particularly interested, though, and this is why I want to give two more things on this company, because they are a very large player within this tech market without being given the public attention that it really deserves, that we have for other tech companies such as Microsoft, Apple, or IBM. So this is why they've kind of stayed in the shadow and in the dark. I don't really know how it was between the two of you for the constitutional complaint that you filed. As an expert, you really try to read the academic literature on this company, and it was really, really, I could count on one hand how many things I could find. So I've read a couple papers about this this company, and there's 13. It was quite limited. There's a few new ones in this year that were added, but there's very little research, very little journalistic papers that are reporting on them. So this is why it's quite interesting that this multi-million company is for the first time really in front of one of the highest German courts and has been evaluated there. And in the hearing, they did not give any reports. So they stayed silent. They didn't send a representative expert. All right, let's get going. We're obviously going to use Palantir as an example, but obviously this isn't really, we don't want to focus on this company. It could be another player. All right.
So let's start what this software is able to do. In the end, it's a system for mass analysis of structured or non-structured police data. In the advertisements of Palantir, there's lots going on with AI and machine learning, which is all. So this judgment is also judgment about using AI, and later when we will talk about the new plans of HESI, we will take a closer look on how they're defining AI in the new act in HESI. Denn sie schickt zu den Anwendern, insbesondere im Bereich Behörden, aber auch Geheimdienste, und die hat eine lange Geschichte in der Zusammenarbeit mit Armee und Geheimdiensten.
Palantir has a long story of working together with the Army and Secret Services, and they are sending lots.
So basically they have a large history of working together with them. It really reminds me of these state Trojan horses. I don't know if you remember them. So they have in Karlsruhe, they explicitly addressed to incorporate OSINT, so data that were accessed from public social media services and platforms such as this. So there's different police databases that are supposed to be integrated for the analysis of data, but not necessarily external data. It's a very practical problem, to be honest, because obviously there is police databases that aren't really added, they're not really connected to the network. But obviously, if you want to combine and create a symbiosis of the two of them, that's creating quite practical problems. So let's look at the legally aspects of this. So up until now, not connected automated data and data sources in analysis platforms are being connected to existing database and data that we are trying to make systematically searchable. So it's like data, and methodically this has been formulated quite openly, quite open. So this is because a lot of these basically, so this opened the door for a lot of future software products. And I mean, as a last point, what the software is supposed to be able to do or capable to do, we want to talk about the specifically sensitive data that we have. So in this hearing, they had a special mention. So data from smartphones that were confiscated, data from the telecommunication surveillance, all of that type of stuff. All of this data are quite protected because they are affecting humans' absolute personal and intimate information. They include data from third parties that aren't included. So the usage of this data is quite constricted. And we'll trace back to how this ruling is making it quite concrete with regards to this type of data. And in the state of Hesse, we have yesterday night we had a look into the coalition contract from yesterday. We have a black-red coalition of conservative and social democrats, my mouth dropped open. In the future, the data called Hesse data, IP data, MAUT data, are supposed to be incorporated, which is quite bold, to be honest, to be integrated into this combined data set. It's obviously quite shocking. The law and the ruling is not coming into from the coalition treaty is obviously not yet put into place, but we know that sometimes stuff from coalition treaty actually ends up in the law. So let's have a look at this from the graphical user interface standpoint, and I'm going to show you. This is what it roughly looks like. You can see in the background, we have the database that's being like symbolically represented by all these little boxes in the background. If you look at the advertisement for this, I can highly recommend it. It's quite entertaining. It's 1 hour ad campaign where it looks quite different. And then they have this more like military style examples, how they like just in front of Taiwan are capturing a warship. And this is what the reality of it looks like in German federal offices. I'll show you a snippet from one of the advertising companies. This is how you can see a graph when you zoom in and you use the search for this database, and you can see like what a single police officer most cases can like see and how they can like connect and like how they can search forward and things like that. All right, let's talk about the federal states.
I would agree. Let's take a look where the software is used in Germany. And we have a couple of federal states doing this a lot, mainly Hesse with Hesse data. Hesse data is being used since 2017, or like the cool kids of the Ministry of the Interior are saying, the software to fight gangsters. And another state using this is North Rhine-Westphalia, where they even have two tools for predictive policing. One of them is Scala, and the other one is DAR. Scala serves to find hot points of criminality, so it's like more to find locations, and they don't use personal data in this system, but it's very different with DAR. DAR is based on Palantir Gotham and is similar to Hessen data. And if we talk about surveillance, Bavaria is also very close. The Bavarians didn't just think we may do the same, they've even put something on top. So they were looking for someone giving them this software. But their tendering was very tailored to Palantir. But what they did was a framework contract for any federal state and also the federal republic, so that the idea is that any federal state can in the end use the Bavarian system. So what they have is a system called Vera, but they don't have a law for it yet. Does it mean it's not being used yet? No, they're doing it, but they're calling it a test phases. So first of all, Hesse had the software and used it without having a law on it. North Rhine-Westphalia also said, oh no, we don't need a law for it. It's nothing bad, is it? But luckily, after some pressure by the data protection offices, Hesse and North Rhine-Westphalia did get lost for it. The difference is Hamburg. Hamburg used to have a law for it a long time, but they didn't have the software. So let's get back to Vera in Bavaria. Let's start with the Federal Republic. For now, the Federal Ministry of the Interior does not have plans to introduce the Vera software, but the Bavarian ruling party, CSU, has introduced plans to use it on a federal level. And Constanze asked around in the other federal states, so we just asked all of them, all federal states, not just which kinds of Palantir software they are using, or if they have different plans for similar software projects. We also ask them how they think about the judgment from February from the Federal Constitutional Court, and that's why we have Hamburg and Berlin marked on our map, even though the I'm sorry for the blue. I've been informed that the Free Electors, which is a small party in Germany, isn't blue, but I'm sorry. So that's where we marked Hamburg and Berlin. Because on one hand, the decision whether they will make a new law to use Palantir software after the Federal Constitutional Court declared their original law as unconstitutional and void. And Berlin has said that they may plan to use the software in the future. Concerning other federal states, Bavaria has a clear yes in their coalition contract to use this software, but they do not consider this software to be predictive policing because it does not give predictions. In Berlin, we got the answer that there is an interest to participate in the framework contract that Jürgen just mentioned, which was made by Bavaria, due to efficiency and cost. And they say the Bavarian framework contract allows for other states to join, and that's where Berlin wants to go, according to the answer they sent us in December. Also, Baden-Württemberg answered similarly, and Thuringia. Interestingly, the answers of Baden-Württemberg and Thuringia were identical. Also, between the judgment and no, the conference of the these states have tried to get the other states to join the framework contract via the conference of the ministries of the interior of all states, but they failed with this because many states did not choose to join it, not even all states ruled by the conservative Unionsparteien. However, most answers in the federal states have signaled a general interest to join, and there have been a lot of statements which were like, oh, of course we need some form of digital data processing. And then we have Lower Saxony, who do not have a plans to do this. And then we have Saarland. Their answer was no, that's the end of the email. Bremen also gave us an interesting answer. They wrote, the senators, which is same as minister in Bremen, they said, please write to the police, we don't care. So he didn't explicitly say that the police is making the laws, but he was implicating it. And then we had two non-answers, which was Brandenburg. We don't know why that I didn't answer. Maybe nobody just cares. And the other is Hesse. But in Hesse, we could take a look in the new coalition contract, where they are also exceeding the amount of data to use with Palantir, where they even want to use road toll data. Then we asked the federal government, and they answered that they do not have any specific plans yet. And soon we will talk about the specific plans in Hesse. So let's talk about the risks. Now we heard a bit of the state perspective and the interest behind it, but why we consider this to be so scandalous, that's because of the dangers and risks that the software brings with it. Number one, we have lots of uninvolved people in the software, not just people committing crimes, but lots of uninvolved people. For example, you get into a road accident, your data will be taken by the police, get into police data, and now they're into the amounts of data they just may be used by the police. Another thing is, if you're a witness with some crime, your data will also be saved in operation data and may also end up in the software in the end. And a big point we have, which we have prominently on our then we have radio cell querying, where your mobile phone data is being is ending up with the police, so there are lots of constellations where your data may end up in the software without you having committed any crime or anything similar. And also the also, the data may be collected secretly. Now, let's have a look who is being controlled often by the police. One, they have lots of data. Of course, this leads to stigmatizing of certain groups of persons. And also, huge profiles of personality may be created by the software. Lots of new informations are being can be collected. What are your habits? When do you meet? Where do you often go to? And which.
All right, let's take on the word of predictive policing. Constanze already promised that we agreed upon certain things. So you kind of have to imagine this. There's a court, and the court is going to ask the people, how are you in practice actually going to be using it? What do you need it for? And the court has very little access to the software itself. They can't look at the software. So they're kind of tied to what people actually say and what they tell. And so why would you need Palantir Gotham? Like, as a question. Like, you often hear stories which evoke certain imageries, as if you're looking, like, watching, like, this murder case, and then the investigator is going to go through all the things, and on page number 17 in file Y, you find a hint, and this is kind of how they're, like, this is the narrative that they're building. This is why they need that type of software, because the investigative officers are simply already doing that. And this is very contradictory to what you see in the ad campaigns for these things, where it's really showing you that it's all about predictive policing. So what's the future going to bring? Like, all of these type of things. Like, in the morning I could add, like, a little word, like, who could maybe potentially become a criminal today, and then you'll be given a name. And this is predictive policing that all of us are really afraid of. And this is what we're going to be looking at now, and how, after this ruling, this is still possible or not, because that's obviously where we see the biggest risks. So what is this software mainly going to be doing? We're targeting marginalized groups. Another general thought is, I haven't yet done anything. However, my name is appearing somewhere, and I'm being basically put on a general suspicion because I have the wrong friends, maybe. I went to the wrong supermarket. I was at the wrong time in the wrong place. Or maybe I'm mad at the system, but as long as I'm not doing anything, that should be quite right. That's enough of it for the predictive policing for now. Let's get to the limitation of purposes, something that's going to be dropped a few more times. You might be knowing this from the GDPR and data protection. So data that's being extracted for one particular purpose are only able to be utilized and used for this specific purpose. This exists between like our constitutional rights. So if I have one type of surveillance measure A is being observed when B is getting into contact, so because A might be planning a terroristic attack. So if on the next day B maybe damaged somebody's house, the data that was taken from the observation from A and B cannot be used to then basically follow up on what B has been doing. Data new generation, sorry, I'm going to translate that in a second again. So basically there's a new term where they're trying to get new data, so hypothetical new data collection. So basically the idea is to repurpose data that has been already, that has been done from previous observations. So imagine you have person C, let's see, they might be doing something with their car, and then you call the the office that registers all the license plates, and then 2 hours later, you also have another thing that happens with regards to C, and it's something new, and then the officers don't obviously have to call again for the second cause what the license plate is. They can just reuse the license plate that they have inquired prior. But that's only possible if the same condition or prerequisite are met. So here we have a lot of data pods, like basic big data lakes, that are labeled and maybe filtered. However, and I'm going to use the example of information storage. Like for example, Jürgen Behring made an inquiry and asked for some data, and then I will be added to the system itself. Even when I'm reporting someone, I was here, I saw something, my bike was stolen, all of this, everything, everyday stuff, being in a traffic control, all of that will be added. And it's not going to be blacked out. And all of that is going to be made analyzable for other causes. And that's basically the large danger that we see. So this limitation of purpose is basically like the holy grail in this particular field. The software is going to basically just disable that. So one note on this, what's basically said up to the in the oral hearing, there were a few more details on these questions that we genuinely didn't know. For example, for the cell phone surveillance, that we heard a lot more, like how the access and of these were in their pure number. Like when the software was introduced, we thought maybe a few hundred of the police officers could access this data. But in this hearing, it was revealed that it was thousands of people who had access to that. This is very telling for these type of hearings. Like the data protection officers of Hesse and Hamburg were very concrete and named numbers that you normally in the written statements never ever see. And as we will see later, like a lot of the people in the parliaments in the federal states that were affected knew about. So the distribution of roles is quite problematic. So the provider went to the stock market, and they've been advertising for military and secret services as their clients forever. Like every single analyst can be tracked and followed their clicks, and it's a specific feature that they are literally advertising. However, that does not solve the transparency problems in the control offices. So the data protection offices obviously also sued that there is a lot of things that they can't access from the protocols. So this is why they obviously also get to the point where transparency needs to really be improved. The other thing that is obviously a large problem is the the bug proneness of the software. It's a general, it's obviously not just this software, but it's obviously that, that police data is also quite error prone. There's a lot of like research, like misspelling of names, things that just sort of happen, and typos. The error proneness is simply present, and if the analysis of third party being affected by police data is a fact that we need to reduce, but it's something that we cannot eliminate, but it's just simply a given. And obviously that's been something that was made quite clear that this is a problem in the hearing. And they have quite out of control growth of data when it comes to this, and what the sources of this are and how diverse the sources are. Jürgen, do you want to give us the example that we had?
Yes. About the process handling system. So everything goes in there, nothing is being blacked out. And in other data systems, for example, with telecommunication surveillance, it takes some time until it gets into databases because it's being manually marked and people not involved with the information are being taken out. Information about your sexual orientation and other very intimate details are being blacked out, but with the process handling system, nothing is being blacked out. And then you ask yourself, so what do they do with this information usually? So normally, with the, in a criminal case, nobody is taking a look into these process handling systems. They're just being accrued. But now they are using it for leading them to say, oh, now we found something which they shouldn't have found in before. So now we need to hurry up. We have one more thing which is not in our materials. And it's a big dependence the authorities get into to Palantir. Palantir has a history in there. Now we have some interesting scientific papers, how Palantir is making lawsuits against their customers, like the New York Police Department, the Pentagon. Palantir sued all of them because they had differences on getting their data back. It's not a technical risk, but it's a huge risk, like we know them from different areas, like election computers. So now let's talk about the judgment. So what does it say in there? We're saying this because there has been lots of reporting on the day. Biggest news anchors in Germany were there, the Tagesschau, but not many people have intensively looked into what the judgment is saying. So on the 16th of February this year, we had this decision, but how did we get there? We had seen the laws and in connects with other laws, and we thought, "Well, that's impossible. We need to file a lawsuit against this." And luckily, the Federal Constitutional Court had the same opinion. This can't be. But the question is this the last? The last procedure at the court, but there is still one which is undecided. It's about the system in North Rhine-Westphalia. It's still at the court. There the court asked the Ministry of the Interior for their opinions on it. But they extended the time limit for the government of local of North Rhine-Westphalia for their opinions, so we don't have them yet. We are waiting for them. Now let's start with the bad news. The first bad news is that the court has decided that using this software is generally possible. But at the same time, and that's what we won, it has given very, very narrow prerequisites for using the software. Now I'm getting back to my point of purpose of limitation. Yes, it has to say in the law that purpose of limitation is being adhered to, but what we found out also in the hearing is that practically it's not. It's on the books, but it's just not happening. So what the court asked for is that there are clear laws on labeling the data to make sure that not for any small crime data is being used which has been found, for example, at a house searching. But also more requirements have to be fulfilled depending on the severity of the interference with basic rights, and there are a few relevant points we need to check on. First of all, what is the kind of the new information we got on? Is it very private? Is it very close to your personality? Can we make profiles of personality with it? Does software allow to find out your sexual orientation, which would be a very, very severe interference with basic rights? Secondly, how big is the risk for uninvolved people to get their data into the system? Thirdly, it's the risks of discriminations. And then we have 3 points to find out this. First of all, it's the kind and extent of the analyzed data. But also, so what kind of data is it? Again, how relevant to your personality are they? Do I have biometrical data or even contents of communication? Then it's the method of analysis, which is being used in the certain situation. So how complex is the analysis? So is the result really really saying so how dangerous someone is? So one point the court has said something on is using AI, especially if we have AI software from private companies, and then it's very necessary to have procedural security.
Genau, Verfahrenssicherung, aber vielleicht auch erst nochmal zu der Möglichkeit, okay, also
all right, we've obviously talked a lot about what we can do. So the Federal Constitutional Court has two things. So one of them being clear standards on what is the data that goes in and how can it be analyzed. So standard norms is I don't know how much you looked into police law, but what's often in there is that one law is being referenced to the other, has been referenced to the other, and then goes on the chain. And neither police officers nor anyone as a private person can evaluate or that's being surveilled what law is actually being applied here. And this is something that cannot be. It has to be absolutely clear that if we want to have some sort of restrictions that are being added, then we need to know why. And the law maker itself cannot make all these decisions, but also the officers have to do that. The research, the lawmaker, he obviously, what they have to do is they have an obligation to label. So we see the law, and then we need to kind of apply it. So we have to label, when do we get the data? What's the process? The lawmaker can't be that granular. We have an understanding for that. There's technical levels that obviously need to be dealt with on the office's level. And then this ruling is not really about the controlling mechanism. reasons. But at the same time, the federal constitutional court did state that we do need to have a multi-layered process of control, maybe. So maybe we have internal data protection offices that have a given regulatory responsibility, but then maybe also the counties or the country's state, the federal state's data protection office also has, again, yet another regulatory responsibility. It's important that what we have here has to be effective. So, and this is how we will lead over to the next control. So in Hesse, we basically, that was a success. So Hesse has responded, created a new law, because they want to keep using the software. So we already addressed this. There's a few more further constrictions that are being planned. Let's have a look at what they're planning now and kind of look into what might be happening or could be taking a turn for the worse in the new year. So it's still what happens, unaffected, uninvolved people are still being incorporated, even though they were technically excluded. So USB sticks, laptops, smartphones, they include a lot of communication data that is from uninvolved people. And we had these telephone. So basically, what we're talking about now is the vastness of the data that's being obtained and how a lot of unaffected are being incorporated into that. So the usage of
Bagatelldelikte in dem Bereich wären zum Beispiel, ist es auch möglich für
so we're now talking about petty offenses. So if you, for example, are in the position, like in the possession of like let's say marijuana or something like that, your data can end up in this software. And so we have to explain a few things that are happening here. So we might be using the software for preventing crime. So you don't really need to have a concrete offense. So this happens way in advance. And the other thing that happens is the other crimes that are supposed to be prevented could typically be things such as nothing's really happened, nobody's got hurt, nothing's been broken yet. What oftentimes has been mentioned in media, things such as forming a criminal organization, which happened quite frequently with regards to climate protesters recently. But obviously, these are like preventative measures and preventative policing. And you could also like ask yourself, can you really use the software if someone is purchasing glue? You see where the problem lies here. We have vast amounts of data that are not being limited at all. We have all sorts of data that should be excluded but is not when it comes to telecommunication, traffic data, from police reporting systems, from police information systems. And Constanze already mentioned there is social media data that can be added and other registries. And we already kind of touched on this in the coalition treatment treaty. There's even more data that's supposed to be added, such as IP data and other surveillance data and toll data. Like toll data, like the ADAC, like the toll data, like why? In the result, we don't have any limitations. We can connect data, enrich data, and use it for statistic purposes. So it's all about, there's zero measurements to prevent discriminatory data. And the reasoning for this is that they don't want to do that at this point in time. But if you think about preventative policing, everything kind of moves forward. One point or one aspect is AI excluded at this point? It's quite unclear. However, that generally this is not being excluded. So let's get back to the limitation of purpose.
So to put it shortly, we have clear that data must be marked. Not really. So we have it a bit better in the new law, but it doesn't entirely fulfill the requirements made by the Federal Constitutional Court. Also, the new law does not fulfill the court's decisions concerning the control of data protection officers, because what we have in the new law is it's saying that the data protection officer of the authority may check it, and the data protection officer of the federal state may check it. But we have a huge difference between may check it and has to check it, and that's why we say no, this could be further improved. And the last point, it's one of our biggest points. What we have a lot in the law is say. A lot in the law is saying, dear authority, please decide this by yourself. But this is not how it should work. We have the legislator, we have parliamentarians whom we elected, and they have to make sure that our basic rights are being protected, and they cannot give responsibility to the authority and letting them decide all of this.
And all these situations made us think about, like, what are our political demands? Constanze, maybe you just start. Of course, we only got 2 minutes, so we have to speed things up. We think that this way of using police data in conjunction with a commercial entity should be stopped, especially if the commercial entity is Palantir. And we didn't notice, but also Amnesty International is also making straightforward. So Amnesty International is of course also involved in the discussion. It is warning about Palantir, and they have fundamental reasons to oppose any collaboration with Palantir. For example, they are also involved in very dubious interactions with migration control, and so there are also further reasons for not working with Palantir and giving them the money. Wait for it. There's still, of course, more transparency. That's a basic demand, but that's just the most minimal demand. Of course, we want to know about it, but it has to be written down. Without at least a certain amount of transparency for us and also for the data. For the data privacy officers, we have no way of actually interfering. And for example, in Bavaria, they are not even publishing the contracts. This is the least minimum we have to see, only just to form an opinion. And last but not least, so we also have we can just make an announcement addressing all of you in this very exclusive room. So to also follow through, and we are also going to put in another court case with the Federal Judicial Court, because we're saying enough is enough. And this has to be stopped. So we are announcing this here right now. It took a little bit more time. Who would have thought? So the constitutional complaint is, of course, very important. This, as Simona said, but the constitutional complaint is is only taking out the trash, but what we have to build up resistance and resilience. We have to get in front of the wave, because we don't want to take out the trash. We just we want to set the new standards in the public discourse to fight these systems before they are implemented. And we're looking forward to questions, of course. So if you have any questions. So we perfect timing. The stage herald just said we are just on time.
Genau, für die Leute hier im Saal gibt's Saalmikrofone, hier vorne zwei, da hinten zwei.
So we're now
und ihr könnt natürlich auch Fragen über IRC oder Mastodon.
Opening the room for questions from the audience.
Im Raum.
Of course also from the internet. So if you're listening via internet, now's the time to get your question in.
Danke schön. Ja, danke für den
Hello. Thank you for the good talk. One question, we took a glimpse at the software, and I suppose that there is a lot of open software that is under the hood. Do we know what open source software is used beneath it, and how far can we talk about certain clauses in stuff like GNU public licenses? So is there any way of like fighting them via the... via the licensing agreements. Of course, we know a little bit about the software because the software has been used in different contexts and they published. They publish a lot of stuff.
But,
of course, yeah, GPL is always very useful.
Do you also use? Do you also do this with the GFF? A little, but let's see. Not yet. So let's have the next question as microphone two.
You said that Palantir is advertising that everything will be protocoled,
but what's with the different direction? Is there a danger that if lots of data have been have flown out, that they might see, oh, we have a gap in the protocol. If they don't want to let others find out what somebody did somewhere, and the answer, we don't know. But I wouldn't assume it, considering how Palantir thinks and what their customers are, and when they have lots of contracts with. So, in this procedure, there we have no information in this direction.
So,
also, the data protection officers had no doubt about this. Our point with the required protocol is insufficient, because there is no checking what's being done with the software. And then you might notice that officers are abusing it, that they do look things up about your neighbor or your ex-partner. And if it's being protocoled, great, we can find out who did it, and if it's not, nope. So the next question will be from the Signal Angel. Question from the internet. Topic of control, of preventive measures, and limitation of purpose. Who is making sure that the purpose of limitation is being adhered to? So, the best solution would be technical, that there's a technical solution making sure that different information does not get into the system and can only manually be put in if certain prerequisites are fulfilled. This would be the most simple and best solution, because otherwise we quickly have to think, oh, I see the data, and then I decide if I use them or not. But technically, the officers shouldn't be able to see it except for a certain emergency situation.
Thanks for the talk. Just a short judicial question. How are the existing processes conforming to the GDPR? Because this is profiling that is used to make decisions. Unfortunately, the GDPR is not cannot be used. It's not applicable to police law. I have two questions. First question: how do you want to follow through on the European stage? We've seen earlier. We've seen surveillance in France. And they are going in an even worse.
Was hat eigentlich die Polizei gesagt, was es eigentlich bringt, solche Surveillance-Maßnahmen zu...
The worst direction, and the second question is, what's the argumentation from the side when it comes to police, like how are they argumenting in this case? So, of course, it's clear. They want to use it. That's their central system of working with these data, and that's also the reason why the Hamburg regulation is not applicable, but the Hessia regulation form has to keep on working because that's their only access to all this data, to the whole data and the data pool. And it's a very pragmatical question. They just want to keep using this. And we don't even want to keep them from using modern technical infrastructure, but it should be adhering to our basic rights. So they've basically bought a tank to drive it to the next bakery. We asked them, how are they using? We want to search through all our databases. So you've basically been paying millions of euros to get an SQL database. No, I have to correct you. It was a symbolical cent. So no, in Hessia, Hessia paid millions of euros. They were the door opener. And after this early bird deal, the prices just went up, of course. So another point is, predictive policing will also be allowed, and the judicial court is also mentioning it in their statement. So we are hoping to bring this to the European stage. Unfortunately, we cannot bring this to the European Supreme Court for Human Rights or for constitutional law. But of course, we are talking to our friends across borders. And we also, of course, but the more important part is also we have to bring it onto the political stage. And this German decision is very much important, and we are hoping that the German decision will lead to a better outcome.
Okay. One technical question: where is all the data lying? And we will also have other problems with that. I'm not sure if I understood this correctly. So we have the company of Palantir, and then we have the German Palantir GmbH, which is located in Laufen next to Munich. So if you have a maintenance problem, you go there. What was the question? Where is the data being saved? We have no information about that. We only know that the data are not network-based. In the Bavarian
area, they also made clear that the data is not safe with Palantir, but with the authority, that they are not on the internet. But how updates work and such things have not been explained, so we have some questions open, but that's what they said. So that's a fear many large police departments, which used to use Palantir but now don't do so anymore, also had. So, but I don't have any information that people have this fear here. So one more invitation, we would like to welcome you at at our GFF stand in the assembly. Jürgen and I will be there. Constanze may be there.